Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to Healing Class. My name is Pastor Sean, and we're going to have an awesome time. Is anyone cold in the room? Oh, nice and warm? All set? All right, praise God. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. I'm going to go through a very quick snapshot or recap from last week, and then we're going to continue on from there. This is Healing Class, and you're all welcome. Father, give this time to you. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this room, for every individual here gathered. Thank you, Lord, for the truth and the reality of the healing and health that it is that we have in you. Thank you, Father, for the finished work of the cross. And thank you, Father, for the reality that this brings, not only to our hearts, but also in our walk, in our living. Thank you, Father, for manifestation of healing made sure in our bodies. And thank you, Father, for just walking in full victory based on what Christ did on the cross. We say we love you, Lord, and we give this time to you. Thank you, Lord, even for ministry as by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to, towards the end of this class, just leave more time, ample room for ministry. We've been talking about authority. The authority of the believer. We started that last week. And essentially, I just gave an overview of what authority is and how it plays a crucial role, an important part in our lives as Christians when we face situations or circumstances that relate to our health, you know, health challenges, concerns, symptoms, diseases, things that we either experience or that try to creep up on us. And our bodies and our experience. And how that there's a fight back based on speaking. And how that speaking isn't just speech, mere speech as believers. That is backed up by what? It's backed up by authority. And we saw how that authority is never without power. With authority comes power. It's attached, it's inherent. And that's what makes it effective. You know, so those are some of the things we touched on last week. Today we're going to look at what I describe as the anatomy of authority. The anatomy of authority. Essentially, what is this authority? What is authority? What is the believer's authority? And I said last week, this is something we throw about. This is something we bring up. This is something we mention ever so often. But what does it truly mean? And so essentially for this class, we're going to, you know, dig down just to see how it is that as a believer, how it is that as a Christian, you, well, and truly, someone say truly, have authority. Okay, so it's not just, oh, a term, say, oh, you have it. It's just, you know, verbally, just something thrown at, you know, you have authority. How is this so? You know, and so I believe strongly that a proper understanding and grasp of this, underscore of this, will help us when we face situations and circumstances so that we address them in power. Okay? Does that sound good? All right. Praise God. Started off last last week, I said, John 12:24. It says, most assuredly, Jesus speaking, I say to you. It says, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it does what? It abides alone. It says, but if it dies, it does something. It brings forth what? Much fruit. It brings forth what? Much grain. And I said, the much grain, the much fruit that it brings forth is grain after its own kind. It's grain of the same type. Jesus was speaking of the type of death that he was going to die and what was going to be the lot and the portion of those who were going to come after. Based on faith, based on believing in that finished work. He will bring forth the same type, the same kind of his type in power and in authority, okay? I'm going to say this to us this morning as we continue on, look at a few scriptures. And that's what I mean by digging down. We're going to look at scriptures and see how it is, what the Bible says about the authority that we have, how we in this position, how we've come to be in this position, position of power and authority. The essence of your authority is linked, inextricably linked and wrapped around the fabric of your identity as a believer. And that's why I said it's the believer's authority. What did I just say? I just said that to say that in order to be able to grasp your authority, you have to understand who you are as a believer, your identity, true identity in Christ Jesus, who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. It's a dual thing, and they complement each other. And that's the reality to which we have been called. If you can grasp who you are, as your identity as a believer, then naturally you can see very clearly, understand, and appreciate authority for what it truly is. So that when you stand, I closed out last week by saying, when you stand, you're not just ordinary. Because you have authority and you have power. Question is, do we recognize as believers that we have that? Do we see the fullness of that being played out in our walk here on this earth, especially as it relates to our health and in walking divine healing? All right? Let's look at Hebrews in chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews in chapter 2. Verse 10. Says, I'm reading from the New King James, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, or who are being sanctified, are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you." So now, friends, based on what Jesus did, it says, in bringing many sons to glory, and that just shows that we now partake of that glory. That glory is not just, oh, something futuristic. That glory includes, for the present time and now, what we're talking about, the twin matters of authority and power. So it says, in bringing many sons to partake of this, in bringing many sons to share of the same that he did, and we'll see more of that in so many scriptures, it was necessary for him to suffer, and not just suffer, but suffer death. And so in suffering death, that was something that he brought about. That's something that he accomplished. And so right now you must recognize that as a believer, you are a member of whose household? Whose household?
Jesus.
The household of God. We're members of one household, as it says in Romans 8:16. It says we're members of one household, heirs of God, and what? Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're joint heirs. We're members of God's family. We're members of God's household. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. It's important. It's important. It says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That what? We are the children of God. And it's important that we should see this, you know. Let's turn to Revelations. Let me show you something real quick there. Try and make that. That's what this class is about. I just want to solidify this in our hearts based on scripture, on authority. It's not just something we just say, oh, I have authority. It has meaning, has impact. Revelations in chapter 1. I can have someone read that. Revelations chapter 1, from verses 5 and 6.
I'll read it.
Please.
"And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."
Hallelujah. He did what? He washed us in his blood. And in washing us in his blood, what happened? He made us what?
Kings and priests.
Kings and priests to his God and Father. What does that say about you as a believer, as a child of God?
I am a priest.
You're a king and priest. And guess what, friends? What can we say about kings as it concerns authority or as it concerns power? What can we say? What can we say about kings?
They rule with power and authority.
They rule with power and authority. What else can we say about kings? Do you see yourself as a king? Do you see yourself as a priest? These are things that Remember I said if we get a grasp of our identity, who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, it sets us apart. So we can understand our authority. We can understand the power that we have, that we wield in facing the situations that life brings. I mean, things that come up in life as it concerns our healing, as it concerns health. It's important for us to see this. It says, well, kings and priests. It says, you're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Okay, so that's one. Let me share something from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. This is something that I had to take to heart and that made me understand this more clearly and see it for what it was when I struggled with the whole idea of speaking out or saying words, you know, to situations or talking to circumstances. But when I got a hold of this, friends, it changed my life, changed my thinking, changed my experience in this area as it concerns healing and health. It says what? Where the word of a king is what? Where the word of a king is what? There is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. So Jesus, in washing us in his blood, in cleansing us, in saving us, made us... Now, I didn't put it in there. It's also in Revelation chapter 5, but we looked at chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. He says he has made us. He's not about to make us kings and priests. This is not something futuristic to say, oh, okay, I'm going to get a kingdom or whatnot sometime in the future. No. He has made us kings and priests in relation to his God and our Father. Okay, so this is something we're born, someone mentioned last week, inheritance. This is something we are born into. Yes, Bolu, you had a question? Or a thought? Okay. A comment? No? All right. So where the word of a king is, there is power. And we have to keep this in context as we keep looking at authority. It's against the backdrop, as in the next class or two, it's against the backdrop of when we speak. I want us to get this whole idea of authority first so that when we talk about, okay, how speech affects, you know, trying to understand our healing, trying to walk in divine healing and health, trying to minister healing to others, to see the importance of understanding your authority. In stepping out in faith, in ministering to someone, in stepping out in faith and speaking about your own body or the body of a kid, a spouse, a family member, or someone, a friend, someone out on the streets or on the job or, you know, in the field, wherever, in the library, at the bank, in ministry. If you understand your authority and the power that you wield and you possess, it's a game changer. But most times we don't understand the full gamut of it. We don't understand the full... all that it entails, or for the most part, because you don't have to have all the understanding in the world, but if you could appreciate a kernel of truth, that you're not ordinary, that you have authority, your viewpoint is different. Amen? Where the word of a king is, there is power. How did we come into this power? We talked about an inheritance. We talked about what Jesus did in making us kings and priests. Okay, that's all well and good. Let's see, how did this come to be? Let's look at John in chapter 1. Any questions or thoughts so far? It's an interactive class, please, as always. Questions or thoughts? All right, let's take it from verse 11. At the start, it talked about the word, and then we see the word personified, revealed as Jesus. Well, we see more of that in verse 14, but let's take it from verse 11. Now, it says, speaking concerning Jesus, he came to his own, and his own did not what? Receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave what? To them he gave what?
Power.
Okay. To them he gave power Another says the right. Another says authority. He gave what? The power to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Now, it goes on to describe these ones. It says, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but what? But of God. So, friends, from the position of rebirth, from the position of birth into God's kingdom, or from the position of rebirth based on faith in Christ Jesus and the finished work of the cross, authority of necessity came into play. Now, let's track back a little bit to what we looked at last week, where it says, whether you take John 14, 12 or from Mark 16, 17, where it says, it sent them out in Mark. It says, go preach the gospel to every creature. It says, who believes, something happens. It says, these signs will follow them that what? Do believe. And then it goes on to list. My name, they shall cast out devils. My name, they shall speak in new tongues. My name, they shall lift up deadly serpents, no harm. They will drink poisonous things. No harm will result. It says, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will what? Recover. It says, these signs will follow. So it's not these, you're chasing after the signs. No, but the signs follow them that believe, they that believe. So we're talking also about looking about the anatomy of the person who believe, or the anatomy of the believer. It says, these signs will follow. Based on what? Authority. We saw that clearly last week. In looking at what we saw in Luke in chapter 9, and Luke in chapter 10, you can go back and take a look at that, listen to that message. But clearly, we see that expressed in that way, in that form. The same thing in John 14, 12. Says, they that believe in me, the works that I do, and greater works than these shall they do what? Do also. So the key word in there is the whole idea of believing, those that who believe in Christ Jesus. I'm saying at that moment when you believe in Christ Jesus, you are birthed into God's kingdom. You are born of God. And in that rebirth, in being born again, in being saved, authority is bestowed on you. The right and authority as a son is the self-same authority and right and power that you wield all through the course of your walk in this life. It says in James 1:18, of his own will, he chose to give birth to us by the word of truth. God chose to. And that's why I ended by saying, you're not ordinary. I'm not ordinary. Well, sometimes we see ourselves in ordinary light. The word says you are what? Kings and priests. The word says I'm a king. Am I walking as one? Am I living as one? Do I appreciate who I am? Do I choose my words when I speak? Do I choose to speak life? What am I speaking? What are you speaking as it concerns your health? Amen? Any thoughts? Questions? So, the fruit that comes, you know, we looked at John 12. The fruit that comes up, it says, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it comes forth, it brings forth much fruit after its kind. The fruit that comes up of necessity is of the same nature, is of the same characteristic of that which fell. Only in more what? In a more plenteous fashion. So, that means, if you want to see the anatomy of the believer, if you want to see the picture of the portrait of the believer, who are we to look at?
Christ.
Jesus. Jesus. So, in case you ever had a doubt about your kingship or your position as a king or as a priest, take a look at Christ and see. Remember, he said, greater works, the works that I do, and greater you shall do also. It says, because I go to the Father. We'll get to that. That's the last point, what I've called for today. But what does the word say concerning Jesus and what he came here to do? Acts 10:38. Who knows what's there? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts, yes. So Sorry?
I don't have that one memorized, but he came to do good and to... he anointed him.
Yes.
Holy Spirit with power.
How God...
doing good and healing all who were poor, oppressed by the devil.
How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost and what?
Power.
And power. And he went about doing good, healing what? All of those who were oppressed of who? Of the devil. Says why? Because God was what?
With him.
The works of the devil being what? Nullified. The works of the devil being what? Set at naught. The works of the devil being what? Truncated. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. So as it relates to you, as it relates to me as a believer, let's see a corollary. Let's see, look at John chapter 3, verse 34. Concerning Jesus, it says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not..." Look into your Bibles, please. I need us to see this. John chapter 3. Verse 34.
For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure.
Utters the words of God. And God gives the Spirit what? Without measure. So what does that say concerning you as a believer? Remember, we're looking at Jesus as the portrait. He's called us brethren. He's called us brothers. We're part of his family. We're part of his household. We're heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ Jesus. We've seen that earlier. He's made us kings and priests unto his king, unto his God and our Father. Right? So, we're born after him in righteousness and true holiness. We have his Spirit on the inside of us, and we don't have God's Spirit by measure. Okay, so we have God's life, we have God's nature, we've been blessed in this way, in this manner, in this fashion. So, I'm lost for words as to how to describe it, but we've been so overwhelmingly blessed by him. I could go ahead and talk about anointing, but I don't want to go far beyond the scope of what it is that we're contemplating today. But you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. We're going to take a look at Acts 2 real quickly. You had a comment or a question?
Yeah, it's like when we speak the word and we proclaim the word, that God's word will always be proved out. You know, like every time we spread the word, we're planting seeds. So no seed from God is going to come out without bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a seed that so much of the miracles and the signs and wonders that followed those that believed had to do with that also preaching the kingdom, bringing the kingdom. Because it's like everywhere we go needs the truth. Even in just simple situations of conflict at work or something, it's like challenges. When we bring the word, we speak the word over it, and then the power is there, you know.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, Brad, I think that's remarkable. That's a remarkable comment because, you know, that's something that the Lord has shown me, and it has credence here. We talked about it a few weeks ago as well as, you know, God's word, Hebrews 4:12, being quick and powerful, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. But in context that you just brought, go through the book of Acts and you see how that, particularly, you see how that in spreading the gospel, because Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone everywhere. And then it goes on, those that believe, these signs will follow. In the book of Acts, you see how that they taught the word. And the word was with specific reference to the gospel, was with specific reference to the good news concerning Christ Jesus. And God bore them witness with signs and wonders following. Every time the good news or the gospel was taught. Acts 19:20, I believe. It says, so mightily grew the word of God and what? And prevailed. The word of God with specific reference to the gospel concerning Christ Jesus, his death and his resurrection. And there was always a show of power that went with that. You know, and so just as he said, regardless of the venue, regardless of the venue, social venue, whatever it is, the gospel, the good news concerning Christ delivers, liberates, sets free, heals in such an awesome manner. You know, and thank you for that, you know, comment. You know, and so, and that relates to healing as well. I mean, it's because it's part of the package, friends. You know, so that, and that's what we're going to be looking at from next week when we start getting to the, you know, practicalities of it. You know, in asking questions about, okay, how about if I'm ministering to someone, an unbeliever? How about if I'm ministering to, because there's a difference. There's going to be a difference of approach, and we're going to see this more practically, difference of approach. If I'm trying to minister healing to someone who's a believer, I'm trying to minister healing to someone out there who's not a Christian, who's not a believer, what would be the basis? Would the basis be, you know, from Scripture? I'm going, you know, it gets a little more interesting. So it wouldn't necessarily always be like today. Not that today isn't interesting, but we're just trying to get into the Word to see the, you know, to see the basis from God's Word of our authority, so that when we step out in faith and speak, you know, and are convinced in your heart that where the Word of a King is, there's what? There's power. Okay, that's just kind of like a step forward from, you know, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. That's just like a step forward from that to say that, no, I realize, also, in addition, rather, I know who I am, and then I speak life. And when I speak life, bang, this is what happens. Or when I speak death to, you know, disease or cancer, you know, or whatever it is, arthritis or cystic fibrosis or, you know, whatever, by whatever, because there's so many names out there you can't keep hardly keep up these days. You know, you hear something and you're like, oh, what was that again? And they say, oh, and these are, you know, these are the side effects of, you know, medication that go with that, and then including death, you know, and you're like, oh, so I can take this drug and die? Okay, well, am I going to take it then? You know, so, well, you can speak life to that situation. You know, so it's important. It's key. Any further comments?
It's funny, like Suzanne and I and our family have been dealing with cold, and we're saying, you know, it's just a common cold. And then I was talking about, it's like, why? Suzanne goes, why is it so easy that I can be, I can have the faith to raise the dead or to like totally like proclaim life and get someone healed from, it was actually MS, you know? A woman receives healing. But then when it comes to common cold, and I was thinking the Lord, and immediately hit me, because it's common. We've accepted that it's common. Said no. Blake was telling me last week, he said, I reject any of it that tries to come to me, because I'm not going to continue to tolerate these things that have become so ingrained in our thinking since birth. It's not common for a believer.
Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you for that. Yeah. It's not common. And you see, that, and that's a subtle mindset.
Yes.
When you think, oh, it's when you think, oh, it's common, that means, oh, it's widely accepted, or everybody has it, or, you know, we're all going through it, or, oh, it's based on the weather change, or it's the season of the year, so, you know, it's flu season, so, you know, if it comes, yeah, so when the mind says, oh, I can accept it, then guess what? You will most possibly, probably have it, because you've, like, opened yourself up to that. Or how about based on length of days, years, or age, you say, oh, well, you know, once you cross 40, I thought one time, once you cross, you know, the 40 mark, then your eyesight starts, starts to go. You know, your eyesight starts to go. Or, you know, movements and things of that nature. Once you hit 60, once you hit 70, and then, you know, there's still, I mean, you know, the patterns and whatnot, judgments in life that, oh, once you hit that mark, oh, you can pretty much expect this and this to start failing. And then you're like, okay, well, that means it's acceptable. No, that doesn't mean it's acceptable. Concerning you, that's not your lot and portion. Again, I ask the question, what are you speaking? What are you believing? How are you standing? Are you wielding authority in that regard and speaking power out of your mouth, speaking God's word directly to that situation, or revelation based on God's word, what the Lord has shown you concerning that matter, especially as concerns dictates, what are you supposed to be saying to that condition? And don't ever be afraid to mention the name. But the last thing you want to do is call it common. Nip it. Nip it right away. There was something? Did you have something in there? Nope.
Ability to speak things out of your body for other people, for yourself. Like, it's the devil's temple, you have the authority to tell him to go away and to leave you alone and to make colds go away and cleanse the devil of all that Jesus did because you have them inside of you, so that means that you have those things as well.
So you have that authority and power inside you based on what Jesus did. So, and that's why, thank you for that. And that's why I said we have him as our portrait. But now he's not just a portrait. You're now part of his family. And guess what? He now lives and dwells in you by virtue of the Holy Spirit.
Well, it's just to say the good news is that we start to speak of life when we pray in that moment, that we recognize, oh yeah.
Right.
And the environment, our thoughts, our minds change. It was like renewing. And that is what she always reminds me of. We just have to renew our minds more. Mm-hmm. Just have to, because I'm like, honey, why is this so hard? We just have to renew our minds more. Amen.
That's amen.
We renewed our minds by speaking the word and praying. And truly, she was feeling better. I was feeling better. I promise you, the atmosphere of our home changed.
There was a shift.
Yes.
There was, it was like a paradigm. It's like a shift completely. And that's why I said it's just to, and it's incredible how this happens, friends. Just your mind, you think, oh, I can, and that's why, that's a whole new separate message as far as guarding your mind, Proverbs 4, your mind, the way you think, your mind, your heart, your thinking. How crucial, how important that is. Because as believers and generally in the world, you know, we can't just allow our minds just to be willy-nilly, just explore anything, think anything, get into anything, absorb anything, you know, by way of reading, studying, and all of that stuff. At the detriment, or to the detriment of God's word. We can't. But we get engaged with life. We get engaged with the world. The world feeds us stuff. That clutters our hearts, clutters our minds. We can't see truth, can't appreciate truth for what it is, or become dull or numb to the reality that we've been called to. And that's why when we walk, we don't really see it in expression. That's why it's hard to see the manifestations sometimes, because we're just inundated with different things. We've allowed our hearts to be clogged with things that don't necessarily do us any good. If anything else, do us more harm than good. But there's good news, because it's not, we can't say hope is lost, no. Because hope does not disappoint, hope does not make a shame, and our hope is not spurious as far. It's not just, oh, I hope someday I'll be able to be rid of this. Okay, well, what are you doing? Are you meditating on God's word? Are you spending time in the place of prayer, in the place of relationship? Are you giving him thanks and worshiping the Lord, thanking him for taking care of what that situation is or what that is done away with, that you're rid of that? Yes?
Just every moment, 24/7, keeping our hearts filled with the word of God, because, you know, we have to be wise and discerning. Satan is trying to snatch and steal that word from us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we aren't wary of his tactics in the subtle little instances, then, you know, fear can come in and doubt. And that word is tampered. And so that's the daily battle that we have. But we have the victory, but it still is a
war. It's real. Yeah, it's real, because guess what? You're still in this life. Mm-hmm. You're still here, right? You're still in this plane. You're still facing things, right? So we're still here. So it's real. It's real. But let's look at a starting point. Pat, I'm going to have you come in. We're going to, thank you so much for that, Lucy. That was awesome. We're going to see God's word, how Jesus dealt with it, how this was remedied, so that we see our starting point. It's important for us to know our starting point as it relates to the devil, as it relates to his antics, as it relates to his techniques, or his modus operandi, or modus, the way he works, his modes of operation. Pat.
Oh, well, you were mentioning like subtlety, and you just mentioned about the enemy's modus, or MO.
Yeah, I guess that's easier to, I'll use that exact phrase.
But I was thinking like a practical way to walk this out too, like Brad was talking about that common code. Anytime you have a symptom, if you start giving it a reason to be there, it's almost like you're agreeing with the symptoms. So instead of reasoning why it should be there, give it a command to leave.
Hallelujah. Which
apparently Brad and Suzanne did. But when you get, it's very subtle, you get a symptom, you can start reasoning why it should be there.
Right.
Like you mentioned, the weather. Go down that path, just catch yourself. It's like Blake was saying, I'm not allowing this. It's all unclean. It's just all unclean. It's not a command that uncleanness to go.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So that's like, thank you, Pat, for letting us know. You don't want to provide supporting evidence to the symptom. You don't want to provide supporting evidence. Oh, yeah, when you rationalize and say, oh, yeah, this is why it's there. This is why it's come. Or this is why I have this. And, you know, all the justification. Because then, guess what? You're given an ample reason to do what? To have a sticking point, to stay. Okay? But instead of that, you want to give, you know, as well, evidence that exonerates or reason why, okay, you got to leave. You're off this hook, out of this body, now, in the name of Jesus. You give a command. Now, there's a basis for that. First thing I want to say in this regard, let's turn to Hebrews in chapter 2. I made reference to that earlier to show how that we're now members of God's household, now brethren with Christ Jesus. We're now of one family, Hebrews in chapter 2, verse 10. But I want us to just go a couple of verses lower and see something by way of position in this experience. Our vantage position, if you like. Hebrews in chapter 2. All right, let's look at it from verse 14, port of call. The first couple of verses before just talked about how we're part of his family. Verse 14, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," speaking of Jesus, "likewise did what? Shared in the same, that through death he might do what? He might destroy him who had the power of death," that is what? The devil, "and release those who through fear of death," you see that, "who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So first and foremost, we must realize that positionally, based on the fact that we're now members of God's household, based on the fact that we're now heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, based on the fact that we're now kings and priests, we must remember that first and foremost, from the get-go, there was a release from the power of the enemy. There was a deliverance, great deliverance that took place. There was a release. Christ Jesus, by his death and resurrection, rendered powerless the enemy as it concerns the lives of those who would believe in that finished work, as based on the fact of those who would come in faith, step into the reality of his finished work. I just said all that to say that we ought not to have fear of the enemy, of the devil, or be afraid of his antics. If anything, be aware of them. And once aware of them, not be afraid to what? To speak. Because guess what fear does? If there's one thing fear does, what does it do?
It takes over your thoughts.
Takes over your thoughts. What does fear do?
It's corrosive to your ability to think straight. It's the most corrosive threat of existence, I think.
Mm-hmm. It renders you. What does fear do? What does fear do?
Takes away the word.
Snatches the word, like you were talking about, Lucy. Mm-hmm. As far as you not wielding that, as far as you not expressing it. Because guess what? That power can't be taken away. But if you don't know that you have power in the first place, are you going to do anything with it? No. You're not going to speak. Fear makes you silent. Keeps your mouth shut. Maybe you scream in fear, but then as far as decreeing and declaring or commanding, fear just puts you in a state of, sometimes you're in shock, sometimes you're just immobile, motionless, you know, you're just stuck. But I wanted us to see this passage based on the way the conversation was, how the things we were bringing up, to show how that Christ already took care of that. He says it destroyed him who had what? The power of death. And what that means is it rendered him powerless in your life, concerning you. But guess what, friends? What does he do? Come with suppositions. come with ideas, come with thoughts, thinking, come with suggestions, come with things trying to get us off the path of truth, trying to get us to think different about God, trying to get us to have a different conviction concerning Christ Jesus and what he did. Did he pay the price? Was the price in full? What about my part that I have to pay? Are you listening to some of the things that I'm saying right now? How about, okay, what do I have to do? What if I lose it? And different things that do not accord with truth, but then comes up so that you can just be like, whatever you have on the inside of you is there, but you're not experiencing it in your walk. And we've been talking about healing and health. And that means sometimes we just accept it and say, well, it's the norm, it's my lot, I have this. No, but it says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. And he did that as he walked the face of this earth in healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And when he died and resurrected, in bringing sons and daughters to glory, guess what? He rendered the power of the enemy, he rendered the enemy and his power powerless in our lives. He says, "Self, as much as children of partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So we must also realize, starting position, that we're delivered.
I like how your teaching has tied in with Pastor Mike's teaching on our new identity, because Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed us from the law of sin and of death. So we're law enforcers.
Hallelujah.
We're enforcing that law of the Spirit of life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all about understanding the life that you have in you. Can I have prayer team members come up, please? If you're here this morning and you have a need as it concerns health, I don't care how common it may be or how difficult or how large or hard you think it is, or length of time, whatever it is, if there's a condition, if there's something you want, receive ministry concerning, I'd love for you to just come up boldly at this time. We have prayer team members here. I'm also going to remain here for a moment. Just want to be able to speak life in that situation. And then also speak as the Lord leads, because I believe specifically that some of those is not just about the physical. It's also about the heart. Be a great thing and beneficial for you to receive ministry this morning, even as by the Spirit of the living God. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, for your word, which is living and active, which is powerful. Thank you, Father, for seeds sown this morning. And thank you, Father, for the hearts receptive who have heard, listened, and received of truth. Thank you, Father, for progress in things of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for manifestations of healing made manifest, evident, clear, real, tangible. Thank you, Father, even for a release in this room this morning. And thank you, Father, for praise and thanksgiving redounding to your holy name. In the name of Jesus, give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in time for a service at 10:45. Thank you so much for attending. And hope to see you next week, next Sunday. Praise God.